Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Queen.
Good evening, and thank you for joining the Goddess Rising Network. I am Nikita Tyler. We're also here with Netra Tainu, And, of course, with our sponsor, Dry Bones 7, with the Dry Bones Connection Network. This evening we're going to be speaking on the subject of the sacred lingam and masculine divine energies, as well as the rising of the kundalini and also the suppression through religion. So first off, we're going to start with speaking to the Shaiv lingam, or lingam that we call it. With this this has been like identified through Hinduism as the god Lord Shiva, which represents the lingam. Now you'll most see its description as a formless cylinder that either arises from the ground or from a fountain. This formless cylinder, it also, you know, represents the phallus, the lingam. It's formless because they say God is formless, like the hidden one. Like if you relate it to Kemetic spiritualism, to the god Ra, the god Amun, the hidden one, the one in which you don't see. But it shows that it comes from the earth, which is also, you know, how nature springs from the earth, like grass and trees, all of that stemming from source. Which source is represented by the yoni. It is a fountain with the long spout, which is like the canal for life to come through. And its part, which the lingam comes out of, is of course like the uterus. Most of the time when you see this fountain, it has a picture of a face, or it has cobras or snakes that are coming from, that are heading towards the spout, which is the Immaculate Conception, which is the great manifestation, ultimate creativity manifest. But okay. That's pretty much how it is that you'll see it symbolized through through Hinduism. Through that particular religion, they would represent Lord Shiva as a man that had many arms, and he also took on a feminine look. He had a feminine appearance to him, and that was due to duality, which we'll speak of in regards to that, which is, of course, balancing the sacred masculine and sacred feminine energies.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, Nichitanya, in regards to the Shaiv lingam?
I'll add that. First of all, usually we do the show for 2 hours. Tonight, we're only going to do the show for an hour. So the show tonight, we're only airing from 9 until 10 o'clock tonight. So those of you that are listening and are on the internet, just, you know, be aware that at 10 o'clock the show will end. And also, just to add a little bit more to what Nikita has stated pertaining to the lingam, and just in case, because I became aware that a lot of men were not aware of what the lingam actually was. So in Tantra, the word lingam is used in Tantra. So in Tantra, the penis is called the lingam. Okay, which in Sanskrit can be translated as the wand of light. And of course, 50 Cent came up with his version called the magic stick. So basically, when you get into Tantra, Tantra teaches that, you know, love making between a man and a woman, when it's entered into an awareness, it is a gateway to both sexual and spiritual ecstasy. So sexual awareness, just being aware of each other's emotions, feelings, preferences, and desires, and just the overall understanding of the sexual act and what's actually taking place, rather than entering through the sexual act without knowing, you know, what's actually happening. You know, it's more to it than just pleasure.
Exactly. I also wanted to speak to you all in regards to masculine energies. I got a video for you all that's going to more so explain the symbolism that I was speaking to a bit earlier. But speaking to the masculine energies, the divine masculine, it is the protector aspect. It is like the hunting type aspect to survival. It is like a speaking aspect to, like in conversation, it would be like a speaking aspect. It's like an analysis. It's firmness. It's a warmth, like a boundary setter. Like these are like the type of like of attributes that are divine masculine energies. It's sort of like the yang to the yin and yang, which of course, you know, there's a degree of yin and yin and yang in either aspect.
Exactly.
So the divine masculine energy is something that that you know every person does hold, as well as, you know, each person holds a feminine aspect as well. Gender is sort of a mental blockage, or a sort of like an illusion that we have, because we have you know both aspects within ourselves that we must balance.
Definitely.
And that definitely is something that that does happen, of course, as far as in our minds psychologically, and as well as through our reproductive organs, through intercourse. We also have to find, you know, those balances as well, because that does, you know, raise our awareness. But dry bones. I wanted you all to hear like the clip here with this Om Shanti that I came across here, and he really explains a lot when it comes to like the duality, and it's coming from that aspect. I believe he is going to kind of pitch the Hinduism religion thing, which, you know,
why is sibling called the Vigra? And why females are not supposed to worship and touch sibling? Why is shivling called the Vigraha? And why females are not supposed to worship and touch shivling? First of all, I don't believe and I don't agree that females are not supposed to touch or worship shivling. I don't think God ever excluded himself from a certain group, race, creed, anything. And if the beaten logic is that they might, it's Shivlingam and all those, then they're only doing worship. That distinction is there, as I was saying yesterday, because of the fact that it's men who wrote the scriptures. Women were not allowed to be a part of that decision making of what is a good ritual, what is a bad ritual. So to begin with, I don't agree. You are free to worship whoever you want. There is nothing stopping you at all. Because if I were to say that don't worship Shivling, but you can worship Krishna, that means I'm immediately differentiating between Krishna and Shiva. Are we not then dividing God? It's paradoxical. It's just silly. And why is Shivlingam called a Vigraha? Anything in which you worship divinity is a Vigraha. What is complicated about it? If you're offering Abhishekam to Lord Vishnu's idol, similarly you're offering Abhishekam to Shivlingam. But is Ling Shivling really the phallus of Lord Shiva? Or what is it? First of all, it is a symbol. It is a symbol of Lord Shiva. In the yogic texts, Ling is the name of a body, Ling Sharira, which is referred to as your subtle body. So this is symbolic of Lord Shiva. That's all there is. That said, we did go through an age, a time, where sex was not a taboo. It was okay to talk about it, and that is why so many old temples that are thousands of years old have got sculptures of poses of Kama Sutra on the walls. So they just thought, okay, let me make something really simple. But from where have we originated? A sperm joins with an egg. So Shivalingam is on a yoni. It is the ultimate union, and it is a reminder that if you could see divinity in that act of intimacy, then nothing will remain superficial for you. Nothing will be undivine. Nothing is undivine, if there is such a word. But you know what I mean. But when you don't understand, then you either avoid the subject or you hate the subject. Lack of understanding leads to these two things, avoidance or repulsion. But when you understand it, it changes. You suddenly see the truth. If I want it, I don't have to look at Lingam, Shivlingam as anything. I could just say this is a sign of God. Don't we do that to Shaligram? We're happy to look at it just like a stone because it does not fit some image we have in our mind of some organ. You could do the same to Shivlingam. Just because you are a pervert, does not mean Shivlingam is bad. Because it is your own reflection that you see outside. That's all it means. This religion has enormous strength. It has never gone out to convert people because there are no insecurities in the religion. It can never perish, because it offers room for every point of view. And that's what makes this religion so very special. I have read so many scriptures from different religions, books, texts. Somewhere they start condemning other religions. Even in Buddhist scriptures, if they refer to Hindu traditions, they call it a dogma. When they refer to themselves, they call it a tradition. I've read it repeatedly, but I'm yet to find one reference in any of the Hindu scripture condemning other religions. You condemn when you're insecure. You condemn when you have some fear. There is no fear, because this is not a religion born out of some book. It is truth that has given birth to thousands of books. You want bhakti? There it is. You want jnan? There it is. You want dhyan? There it is. Karma, raj, sankhya, you pick what you want, because all will lead you to the truth. So there are no hard and fast rules. But you just have to be honest with yourself. There were three priests. belonging to three different temples. And they said, we are not paid enough, you know. So they admitted that sometimes we take from the offerings. And they said, how do you do that? One of the priests said, well, I actually just draw a line and I just toss all the money. Everything that is on my side of the line, I keep. Everything that is on the other side of the line, I give it to the temple. And the second said, my method is very similar, but I draw a circle. So everything that falls in the circle is God's. Everything that is outside the circle is mine. And the third said, I don't like to draw distinctions with God like this. I just throw the money in the air. Whatever God grabs is His. whatever falls down, I keep. So, you know, you just have to. Nija nija karma nirata shruti riti. This line in Ramcharitmanas. And there's a similar verse in Bhagavad Gita. Svabhajin kante nibaddha swin karmana. If you're honest to yourself and do what you're doing honestly, you will experience vairagya, dispassion, detachment. You don't have to go to the caves, the mountains, and so on and so forth to just figure out what are you actually doing.
You are back, goddesses.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed what the brother was saying. I know, you know, it may have been a little hard with the language barrier, but I hope that you got what the brother was saying. I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know, coming from that particular perspective, because they look at, you know, they look at sex, they look at, you know, the lingam and the yoni as sacred instruments, which they well should. When you think about your body as a temple, it is a holy place. And some of you all Bible readers might refer, you know, as to, you know, that you would not dwell within an unclean place. So how else can you clean up without starting within? Anyone that knows me knows that I will always speak to finding balance within yourself. It always has to start with balance within yourself, and it's manifest on the outside where it actually can be seen. And that's through your lifestyle, your appearance, or what have you. But I really agree with what the brother was saying as far as looking at the whole aspect as something that is holy. It is something that you should, you know, take your time with and should prepare for, and things of that, because you are entering a sacred act. Exactly. When you lie with someone.
Exactly.
So when you do, I mean, you're definitely looking to, it's definitely not for the experience just to meet, you know, the climax and you're done. It's definitely not meant, you know, for that type of exchange. It is to, you know, raise you all's awareness and knowledge of self. My brother said that in so many words, knowledge of self. This is
exactly.
All a part of knowing yourself. We should be able to speak publicly about sex and how, you know, different aspects of it, whether it is the actual act itself or if it's, you know, building up certain awareness when it comes to energy points or even in illnesses or sicknesses, you know, developing this type of education. And it should not be something that's taboo or something that's looked at as repulsive or anything of that nature. It should be free and expressive. And that's exactly what that energy is. That energy is creative, live energy.
Exactly.
But,
and that's exactly what's taking place. Actually, you know, I've come across information that actually suggests that prior to an orgasm, it is like better not to have an orgasm, because then you get all this stored energy. Or like
exactly.
You said, this creative energy that you can transform your life with but you actually have to know what the energy is and how to control, you know, yourself from that orgasm. And then also what I've done, you know, when you're at the moment and rather than orgasm and you're feeling the energy throughout your body and all throughout your cells and organs and whatnot, then to me it's at that point that you actually, you know, connect with the universe and kind of like, I guess in a sense, this is where you want to manifest things to happen or change in your life because that's what the energy is supposedly, you know, is used for.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. Thank you, sis. That's exactly what it is. It's creative energy.
And also, you know, I'll just add this on while I'm on the roll for a second. when people are having, like, multiple orgasms or you're just constantly, you know, just highly sexual, this also ages the individual, you know. So this is why you may see some people that are, you know, a certain age and they look older and someone else may be the same age and they look much younger. So it all depends on how you actually use that energy because here again, it's not just about you having an orgasm and then you're done. You know, you have to actually transform or actually use this energy that's present.
Exactly, sis. That energy, when you think about it, it takes energy and effort, you know, when having sex. So when you think about it, if you are just having sex and you have an orgasm, how do you feel? Most people have, you know, some sort of lethargic type feeling. That's because that energy that they put into the act basically went out the same exit, you know, that it came, you know, and it's not going anywhere. So imagine if you're taking that energy and you're focusing yourself and you're using your mind to manifest the things that you want and also raising the kundalini because that's where the kundalini spirit dwells is at the base. Then once you ignite that energy, that you can have it move up your chakra points. It revitalizes yourself. It makes it to where you are more creative. You think more clearly because, you know, you can handle certain situations. And that's what, like, tantra sex, that's what it does. It helps you build up a tolerance, you know, for that mortal ego cardinal feeling. It's taking that, you know, taking that aspect to where you become a master of that. You become a master of yourself, master of your 666, which is the beast, which is the carbon atom, 6 protons, neutrons, and electrons. You become a master of that, you know, when you're able to take, you know, the absolute, also in Hinduism, they call intercourse like an absolute reality. You take that absolute reality and you become master of that. Then you become master, or at least you start the pathway to enlightenment.
Okay. You know, and also being that, you know, the show tonight is on the sacred ligum, and for, you know, the people of the women that are listening and you're wanting to know what could you possibly do to satisfy your you know, other half. You know, so basically getting into tantra, and I really like tantra. Tantra sex to me is the bomb. But anyways, getting into tantra, one of the things, like when you're rubbing and you're touching the ligum, you actually want to massage this area, okay, using a variety of strokes and grips. You know, just actually, you know, you're honoring your man and you're honoring the sacred ligum, you know, at the same time. Mm-hmm. So give them pleasure that way, but, you know, taking your time and massaging, you know, and massaging the ligum. And the goal of the ligum massage is to, you know, once again, honor your man's ligum and help him to expand his ability to receive pleasure, okay? And then you also have to think about the setting and the attitude as well because this makes the massage even more, you know, of a special experience because then you want to get into, like, you know, the same thing like a romantic occasion that a man would set up for a woman. The woman can also do this, you know, if she's honoring her king or her man or whatever. You know, you want to dim the lights. You know, you want to have the room temperature to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You want to light your candles. You want to have soft music. And you just want him to, okay, listen, baby, tonight is your night, and you just go ahead and, you know, take care of him that way, and basically just honoring the ligam. Now, even though women mm-hmm. have a G-spot, but believe it or not, men also have a G-spot. So women, if you know where this spot is, even massaging that part of the man's body, is a turn on, and also, you know, something to pleasurize him. So if you're into, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to please your man, you know, get to know your man as well as you want your man to get to know you.
Exactly. Exactly. And through this act, I mean, it is about, you know, it is a pleasure engaging in experience. It is also to build up a tolerance as well. So as, you know, you all both engage in both sacred lingam and sacred yoni massages, you all will learn to build up a tolerance, which, you know, of course, would be quite interesting in the bedroom. As well as you guys channel those energies, which you'll need it. You'll need it in order to raise your kundalini and to manifest what it is that that you need in your life, and you share that with your partner. But switching gears, that being said, Dry Bones, do we have any callers, anyone who has any questions or comments at this point before we switch to the next topic?
At the moment, we have many that are listening, so I guess you guys are keeping the conversation hot. I guess they're learning from you on how to handle the situation.
Okay, well, I want our listeners to know that you guys are more than welcome to ask any questions that you may have or even voice any comments that you have in regards to this topic. We're basically trying to bring awareness to this. If you know, realize that you don't hear about, you know, things like this in your church houses or in your community centers and things like that. And it's something that's very, very important. I think that it is definitely a key into nation building, into unity, as well as we realize that we need to balance ourselves and to also be, you know, that support for our partners, that it'll build more genuine relationships. And also, I definitely encourage you all, if you have any questions or any comments, you know, don't hesitate, you know, to hit that one button so you can speak to us or be live and speak to some others, because that's what we're here for. It's an exchange of knowledge, and you all are more than welcome.
Right, definitely. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to speak, since I was speaking on, you know, that type of thing, like when we also speak to sexual intercourse, so it also speaks to the sacral chakra, and I wanted to speak to its connection, which it has, you know, connections to each chakra system. But in regards to the sacral chakra, it is like the pleasure-seeking chakra. It is the house of your emotion, your psychological stability, your comfort level, things like that. So, like, when it comes to sex, some people feel... they may feel hyperactive, where, you know, they may have a higher drive. It may be something that's more constant on their mind, or it could be that they can be more dormant or neglective, to where they don't seek any sort of pleasure. And why would that be? So there is an imbalance in either case, and basically we're trying to look for the right medium. That's where it is a healthy, open expression of yourself that you can feel comfortable with, and that is the goal of balancing that chakra, and is directly related to sex. And that's being that, you know, some people are ashamed of things that they like, or that, you know, that puts them, you know, into a different type of mode. But that is the definition of creativity. That is the definition of originality. You know, for you to feel this way, or for certain things to appease you, you know, that is something that is original. It's something that is the direct aspect of what we have in connection with the Creator. For us to be creative,
right,
is one of our derivatives.
Okay.
But okay. So I guess I want to also speak on balance and duality, which that's something that your partner does actually help you you with help you obtain. Because when you think about it, when you do, you know, engage in the act, is that you're opening up that portal for letting someone else in. So if you can imagine, you having to find balance within yourself, and then you're allowing someone else's energy to be a part of your own. And when you think about that, there will be aspects of yourself where, you know, you may be stronger in some areas and not in others. And that's the very same thing for your partner. So when you think about, you know, engaging, you know, with someone, you have to think about those particular energies as well. What type of energies are you going to be taking on from your partner, and can you balance those energies within yourself?
Right. Okay. And, you know, actually, you know, I'll take it a little bit further because, you know, in the times that we live in now, you know, so many of us have access to the internet, and you have so many men that are into porn. But one thing about porn, it doesn't get into teaching you about yourself or about your partner. You know, in those, you know, porn acts, shows, it's about, you know, somebody getting off. So we also have to look at porn, or, you know, take into consideration that, you know, some men do misuse porn in a manner that subverts healthy sexuality for themselves in their intimate relationship. In that situation, okay, the compulsive, addictive use of internet porn must be confronted and changed, because both individual and the couple, because here again, if that's what, you know, if that's what someone needs to watch porn to just get them excited, I mean, kudos to them. But if you're with your partner and you can't get that same excitement from your partner, then you know what, there's a problem. And here again, you know, you actually want to get to know each other. You want to know what turned each other on. And to me, you just can't, you know, from porn, you're just getting aroused or you're getting some type of excitement. But here again, if you can't get that from your partner, then you have a problem, plain and simple.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, porno doesn't teach, like, the connectedness that you must have with your partner. Because you can get into tantra, you can get into meditation with your partner, you can get into all these things with your partner. But if you don't have that connectedness, it's not going to mean anything, and you're not going to feel it. And one thing that we do feel is energy. So the energy has to be on the same level, you know, with both people. You see? So, and also, let's see, what else can we get into?
I have a video that actually speaks into this that we're actually speaking to. This is from a brother called Infinite Waters, and I really enjoyed what he has to say. He really kind of breaks down exactly what we're trying to get into. Drag Bones, if you roll them.
Yeah, let me make sure we have the right one, because there's two different clips, and I want to make sure, I'm going to load up another one just to make sure that we do have Mother Nature as the female principal. Let me put that in here for you. And
okay. Well, one sec on the question, Dry Bone, so you can look this up while we're speaking. It is Infinite Waters, and it's the balancing of masculine and feminine energy. It's something along those lines.
Okay, let me make sure this is it. Hold on, let me just check this right quick.
Okay.
Okay, and while Dry Bones is checking the clip, I'll go ahead and interject and state that, you know, intercourse is not the only means of sexual, nor does sex equal intercourse, okay? So being sexually aware also means that you give, means that you're aware of what is right for one person. It's not necessarily right for another, or, you know, by extension, what's right for one couple, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the same thing is right for another couple, you see. So in a healthy sexual relationship, you must work together to overcome sexual problems. And, you know, we have all these traumas. Now, I shouldn't say all these traumas, but, you know, we have experienced traumas, you know, in our lifetime from childhood on up until to our adulthood. And if for some reason, if this trauma had to do with sex, then yes, it's going to take time in healing and practice of a certain meditation to get, you know, getting to know yourself and opening yourself up to your partner again. And this is why, you know, I mean, here in America, we have so many marriages that do fail because, you know, sex is not just about going in and doing what you got to do and then it's finished. You know, there's a lot more to just having sex. You know, there's touch, there's massage, you know,
there's allowing yourself to be open.
There's things that you actually should do to actually lead up to that point. You know, because otherwise, I mean, you're just a doormat or whatever, you know. So, yeah, so there's a lot to take into consideration and when you're looking to being actually connected, you know, with your with your partner.
Awesome. So, and we had a question. We had a caller with a question.
Sure, go right ahead.
Let me see. Yeah, they're still listening. No, they're still listening.
Okay.
Now, the question I want to I guess I'll ask me a question while we find this audio, because I think I have the old one that you had from Dr. Blair, which has the same name. I'm not sure. I'll play it just to make sure. But what is the information on having an orgasm as a male aging? Because, you know, in that case, we'll have a lot of old men here based on if there are if they are having sex and if they are ejaculating and making that energy go into the female, how's that aging and how fast is that process of aging? If we can ask that, I'm sure a lot of men want to know. You know how, you know, if you think about that, a lot of men are, I'm sure, are definitely orgasms all the time, and you know they're probably wondering, you know, how much life do they have left? You know, they should make it over 50 some of them.
How much life they got left? I can't state. I'm not saying that having an orgasm is going to bring on death, but it does bring on you aging as far as, you know, your looks. It does bring that on. And how rapidly, how quickly does it happen? I can't say that at this point, how fast does that happen. Mm-hmm. But if you're a person that's, like, really sexually active and you're, you know, just popping off every night, I'm pretty sure, you know, by the time you're 30, well, you said old men. I don't know why old men are trying to pop off every night, but okay. but it's like, You have to take everything into consideration, you know, or in modification, because too much of a good thing can actually be bad for you. You know, how many drinks does one need to drink in order to get drunk? And all depends on the person. Depends on the body mass of that person. So what rapidly happens to one person doesn't necessarily happen to the next person, you know. So it's all about being aware of what you're doing. Now, in order to stop, you know, if you're with your partner, in order to stop you from ejaculating, then you can squeeze the head of the ligum and actually, you know, have the male to actually breathe, you know, just relax and breathe. And your focus shouldn't really just be on having an orgasm. It's about having pleasure.
Right.
And it's about feeling this energy surge throughout your body, going up your kundalini,
right,
you know, up your spine. You know, so
right.
I can't say, and I doubt that any doctor or professor could actually state that, oh, you know, you have 10 orgasms a week, or you're going to age by the end of the week. No, it all depends on the person, depends on the body mass, who you are, and other activities that you're involved in.
Right, it definitely is.
Yeah. Your clip is processing, so we're going to play that one. I think I did find it. So go ahead. We got about maybe a minute before it goes all the way through.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
I have it now.
Well, Okay.
Let me see if this is the right one.
All original zygotes are...
Okay, I got it right here.
Peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. This is sexology. Water, fire, hot, cold. Yin, yang. Divine feminine, divine masculine. Awakening these principles within ourselves. As I see it, the feminine energy and the masculine energy lies within each of us. This is the marriage, the union between these two energies. The greatest relationship we can have is with ourselves. Divine masculine. What I found on my journey of how to awaken the divine masculine is to first recognize the traits of the divine masculine. First of all, as I see it, every man on the planet is different. But at the same time, it's all about becoming the greatest version of yourself. The divine masculine is about protection. It is the warrior. Not only for your family and for the one you love, but for the community. The divine masculine is about the upliftment for all of humanity. It is about opening up to the divine feminine too. Right now on the planet, we see that there is an imbalance in the energy scales, to put it lightly. It is very yang. People have become desensitized. And the masculine energy is wonderful. The masculine energy is direct, straight to the point, full of testosterone. But at the same time, what makes the divine masculine divine is the ability for men to tap into their divine feminine, because the two are related, they are interchangeable. A lot of poets, artists, they gather their inspiration from that hidden side of themselves, the divine feminine. So, as more men tap into the divine feminine, which is yielding, they become empowered. They become better lovers. Thank me later. The divine feminine, awakening the divine feminine. The divine feminine, in its truest form, can inspire the whole world in a split second. Just a click, that's it. The divine feminine is about helping men rise to their higher nature. It is about nurturing the children of the world, because the one who rocks the cradle controls the nation. The divine feminine is about embracing the beauty. It is also about connecting, reconnecting to the divine masculine. And a lot of women who do that are super powerful. You better watch out, because they are the warrior princesses, the warrior queens, because not only do they have this phenomenal sensitivity, but at the same time, they have the warrior spirit activated within themselves. they are the perfect fusion of the right brain hemisphere, which is about creativity, and the left brain hemisphere, which is about logic. Everything a woman does is in response to a man. Everything a man does is in response to a woman. We have to see there is no war between gender, because gender is an illusion. And when we talk of awakening these principles within ourselves, this frees us. The divine feminine has the power to raise the dead. Many of us men, we've seen a woman and our heart has ripped out of our chest. Boom, poof. What happened? It is the letting go. And many women who have tuned in to their divine feminine can do that. I say true beauty is unaware. When women can see that vulnerability is a tremendous gift, because there is no fear. The rose is not afraid. It is there. And because of that, we admire it. The divine feminine is not about competing with other women. It is about forming the sisterhood, to see that between your legs, you have the stargate, the portal, bringing from the unseen realms into the seen realms. These are the deep secrets. If you knew the power of your womb, you would think twice before you let someone inside there. Better be someone really special. Because you have the ability to create life. Therefore, as men, we honor you. And it is not about placing the divine feminine on a pedestal to say it is greater than the divine masculine. It is about seeing that we are complementary. We work together in unison so both of us can become what we really are, which is one. The water relationship I talk of is where men and women surrender to each other. Right now on the planet, we are in, many of us, not all of us, are in Coca-Cola relationships, where it's about ownership. It's about playing games, pickup lines. These are so popular. But at the same time, they block us from our authenticity. Because it is only when we tap into our authenticity that love can blossom. It's about letting go. We're not judging. And that is the perfect union of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. When we awaken these principles within ourselves, we create the perfect equilibrium. We begin seeing that there is more to life, because on and in those higher realms, love takes on a whole new meaning. The divine masculine and the feminine, they step into the co-creators they were designed to be, not just the consumers. It's not about robbing other people of energy. The water relationship is about generating energy. Awakening the divine masculine and the divine feminine can be done at the same time, because they have never been separate from one another. We do this by reconnecting back to ourselves, by going into nature, by fully embracing who we are, by loving ourselves 100%, because there is no prototype of woman, there is no prototype of man. No, we are all just vessels for this primordial life force to experience itself. It's just passing through us. So we have to begin breaking all the stereotypes for us to begin to awaken the divine masculine and the divine feminine that lies within each of us. We are out here in nature, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Stay well, stay healthy. Peace.
And we're back to the goddess.
Awesome. Cool. I hope you all thoroughly enjoyed that, like I have. The brother definitely makes hits on many heavy hitters when it comes to duality and balancing of the energy and respecting yourself and respecting your partner. So definitely something that you take into, you know, when you do, you know, want to perform that act with someone special, to take that into consideration is respecting the god, respecting the goddess. You all are definitely looking to help balance each other, and it's something definitely that that deserves to be appreciated and honored, and not to say, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's more of like an appreciation, you know, a physical manifestation of your appreciation to that other person.
Yeah, and also acceptance of that other person. But prior to appreciating and accepting, you know, the other person, you have to appreciate and accept yourself. So actually you have to get to know yourself first in order to know how to please or actually be that person for, you know, the other person or your partner. Once again, just to overcome sexual problems, one needs to learn and practice sexual communication as well as psychosexual skills. Now, I mean, it's up to, you know, you guys to look that up. What are psychosexual skills? And because here again, what we've gone through, you know, gone through in our life, it does play on the psyche. So get into finding out what are the psychosexual skills and just try to redefine your life and find yourself, redefine who you are. Learn who you are and learn to love and accept who you are, because first and foremost, if you don't, you know, love and accept who you are, you can't possibly expect someone else to, you know, love and accept you, because here again, it's about energy. Energy doesn't lie. You know, energy is real.
You're absolutely right, sister. We have to be able to accept who we are, accept our likes, our dislikes, our strong feelings towards one thing or another, and learn how to find our balance from being, you know, neutral to ego, somewhere in between there. But you're absolutely right. If we don't have that type of awareness, then there's no way that we can genuinely give to someone else. Because even when you think about it, if you haven't found that balance within yourself, if you're giving to someone else, it becomes a place of where you're expecting for that same sort of passion that you put in for that other person to return back to you, you know, and depending upon your own expectations that you built, then that person may not add up to that. They might not be able to live up to that, but that's their own genuine expression as well as your own. So, yeah, definitely something that is needed.
Nikita, before we go, I'll mention a book
And this is a book pertaining to sexual awareness, and it's a guide to healthy couple sexuality. And this is a book by husband and wife, Barry and Emily McCarthy, and the book is 1995. So if people wanted to, you know, read more, research more, and it's a very interesting book, very detailed book. The book contains a lot of information that I'm sure people would, you know, greatly appreciate. So once again, the book is called Sexual Awareness, Your Guide to Healthy Couple Sexuality by Barry and Emily McCarthy, and the book is 1995. So that's a book that I suggest.
Awesome. Thank you, sis. I also wanted to bid you all to look more into this. Whenever we have these topics, it's definitely an open forum. We are finding information and sharing it with you all. We're definitely welcome to expound with knowledge that you all may have. But if you all want to get into, like, the lingam massage or more information in regards to that, I also have a website here for you guys. It is called whitelotuseast.com. It has lots of information in regards here to it, and it's not just the lingam. It also speaks to the yoni. It speaks to orgasms and performance and control, different. It has many, many different topics. So if you all are definitely looking to take it to that next level with, you know, your partner, then I definitely recommend it. It is www.whitelotuseast.com.
And also, here again, just for purification matters, and we kind of like discussed this on the Sacred Yoni Show, when you're being intimate with your partner, and if you haven't or unaware of like spiritual baths, I highly suggest spiritual baths to cleanse yourself of old energies, because if you've never done spiritual baths, then you have these energies that have been within you from other, sex partners or whomever you've been with. So here again, this is something that you would want to do. You would want to kind of like purify yourself in a sense. You want to have the spiritual baths to cleanse these energies, because you're transferring energy. So the energies that are within each one of you, of course, you're sharing these energies of other people as well. So you want to do a spiritual bath to cleanse yourself.
Right. Definitely. I'm glad that you mentioned that. You all can do your research on that too. Look up different herbs that you can use to put either in your bath or for you to use as a steam. There's herbs like sage, and sage clears negative energy. And lavender, it brings in calmness. It brings calm to chaos. So basically, you can do your research and find which herbs that kind of speak to you. Also, you can use your crystals to charge your herbs as well, and speak to them as well to promote your own healing as well. But definitely do your research on that so you can find what your spirit is inclined to, and see how that works for you.
And I will state this really quickly, because I have been asked this, if I've used a yoni egg. I have yet to use a yoni egg. And one of the reasons why, a woman would use a yoni egg, and to me, this would be something for women that have had children. Of course, after you've had children and you've had vaginal birth, then you kind of like you want to tighten your muscles. One exercise you can do, of course, and I'm sure, all the women should be aware of the Kegel exercise. That's one exercise you can do.
Yeah.
And women can also do use like the yoni egg, where you insert the egg, but also somehow you have to have like a string attached so you can easily remove it. But if you are going to use a yoni egg, then what you're doing, you're pretty much doing the same thing that you would do to the ligament, to a phallus. You're squeezing your muscles, because that's what you do when you're being intimate. You're squeezing your muscles so that,
you're building those fibers.
Exactly. I do know that there are certain medical facilities that are doing like vaginal rejuvenation. There's some women that take that route.
I won't say to the extent that it's not necessary, you know,
right,
to each his own.
Exactly.
But like with me,
exactly.
I practice the Kegel, and that's one thing that I do, and I know for a fact that it does work. So here again, I have yet to try the yoni egg, which you know I may try it. If I do try it, I'm open. I'll share that, you know, my experience with that. I have nothing to be ashamed about, you know.
Right.
But, you know, for women that are wanting to know how to tighten their muscles so that they can, you know, bring more pleasure to their mate, those are just some of the things to definitely look into. And here again, if you are going to just honor, you know, the ligament in your man by way of massage, then, you know, you just do the hand massage. And here again, practice breathing exercise, because that's also a part of tantra. Practice breathing.
That's very
and,
important.
Right, and if he feels like he's going to explode, just have him look, calm down, relax, take your deep breath. So there are also videos on YouTube as well that would help, you know, people learn how to properly breathe and do breathing exercise. So it has to be, you know, a thing where, you know, that you're doing this together. So, you know, I don't think that it's fair for one person to learn and then
right.
try to reiterate it to the other person. You know, it's something that you want to do together because you're honoring each other at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
and here again, if there's anyone that has any questions, by all means, don't be shy, ask a question. If not, then we can go ahead and conclude the show at this point.
No, they're just still listening. You guys are keeping their interest, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, we are keeping that. We're about to go ahead and wrap this up, y'all. So definitely feel free to hit us up. We're available on Facebook. I'm Nikita Tyler. If you want to see what's going on the outside of Facebook, you can hit my Instagram at Kita_OMG, and also my business page at Empress Abode. On Instagram, definitely feel free to check that out. Feel free to ask us any questions or anything. We definitely encourage you all to build up on that awareness and educate yourselves and all of that. So that's all for me. I hope you guys have a wonderful night. We thank you all for hanging in with the Rising Goddess Network each Tuesday at 9 p.m. You all have a great night.
Next Tuesday.
Temptation, education, relaxation.